An option to strategically spray different parts of your fields for weeds. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Good morning. Welcome to the morning podcast. We're in the month of June now. I'm Andy Eubank on the 1st of June, 2021. And Eric Pfeiffer has the news today, including a spotlight on Albertson drone service. Also, some iffy rural internet speeds, the subject of an FTC complaint. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says a mix of sun and clouds today, probably another dry day, but then things change. And a look all the way back to the Friday markets with Bob Utterback analysis after the Memorial Day off yesterday. The news begins right now here on HAT.
A complaint about Frontier's internet speeds and the availability of Roundup. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Country Mark and its member cooperatives, who are your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. Last week, the Federal Trade Commission filed a complaint against Frontier Communications. The complaint alleges Frontier did not provide many consumers with internet service at the promised speeds and charged many for more expensive and higher speed service than Frontier provided. Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat from Wisconsin, says the problem isn't just in his state, it's also in states like Indiana.
We've known we've had a problem with Frontier for some time. I had a community meeting a little over a year ago, just before the pandemic hit, where I took a lot of complaints from people who had Frontier service and how bad they were administering it, how expensive it was, and just how shoddy the service was. But I'd also say this isn't limited just to the Frontier. This is other service providers doing the same thing. They come into a community with these grand promises. They don't deliver. They take the money. It's another reason we need a comprehensive broadband plan for America that works.
The complaint was filed with the attorneys general from Indiana, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, and North Carolina.
Certainly with the case now, trying to refund customers' money is the ultimate goal, what the attorney generals have applied for. But we need better monitoring and oversight, especially for these bigger providers that just got awarded some big federal contracts for a rural broadband expansion, to make sure that they're adhering to the terms of the contract and not just taking the money and run. And that's another problem that we have to confront.
Kind is a member of the National Rural Broadband Task Force. The panel is working to improve broadband speeds in rural areas.
Just in time for National Dairy Month this June, American Dairy Association Indiana is proud to announce the Indiana Cheese Trail, opening June 10th. Indiana is home to 10 cheese-making locations, many producing award-winning cheeses, Colby, Cheddar, Monterey Jack, and more. Learn about the Indiana Cheese Trail at IndianaCheeseTrail.com. Log on and check out the cheese and support Indiana's cheesemakers. Brought to you by American Dairy Association Indiana and WinnersDrinkMilk.com.
Last week, we told you about Purdue University Tyler Trent Courage and Resilience Award winner Kyle Albertson. This week, we want to tell you more about his business, Albertson Drone Service. Albertson Drone Service offers aerial photography of general crop health, damage surveying, and drone-based applications and spraying. Albertson is the first licensed drone spraying contractor in Indiana through a partnership with Rantizo.
For example, you have an 80-acre field, and you only have 10 to 15 acres of that whole field that has a weed issue. We can go and strategically spray them 10 to 15 acres without having to, for the farmer to bring a ground sprayer and spray the whole field, which that cuts down on, you know, fuel cost, chemical cost, anything like that. And we can also spray right after rain. If it quits raining, I can be spraying in 10 minutes later.
If you want to learn more about Albertson Drone Service, visit AlbertsonDroneService.com. or call 765-430-1717. Recently, litigation around Roundup and glyphosate has been in the news. Darren Wallace, Vice President of North America Communications for Bayer Crop Science, explains what this news means for farmers and the ag community.
You may have heard some recent news on Roundup litigation. To our ag customers, let me assure you that Bayer continues to stand behind the safety of glyphosate products, which have been used successfully around the world for more than 40 years. Let me be clear, there is no impact on the access or availability of Roundup and this important tool for our ag customers.
That's Darren Wallace, Vice President of North America Communications for Bayer Crop Science. And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. Not much going on here across the Hoosier State today. I look for a mix of clouds and sunshine. We had more clouds in a lot of areas yesterday than what we were looking for, and I think that kind of bleeds over into today. So mix of clouds and sun at best. Now, we do still see the state staying mostly dry for your Tuesday. Moving into tomorrow, actually well past midnight tonight, we start to see some moisture coming up from the southwest over southern Indiana. Hit and miss showers over the southern half to two-thirds of the state for your Wednesday. Overnight tomorrow night through Thursday, we can see that moisture move a little bit farther north. Combined, I think we're looking at two-day rainfall totals. Wednesday, Thursday, running anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch. I do think the heavier precipitation totals will be coming with thunderstorms, and those will be most likely in central Indiana. We're looking at 80% coverage for the 2 days combined as well. By the time we get into Friday, we're back to fully dry weather. Plenty of sunshine, temperatures normal to above normal, and then I think we stay above normal through the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Next week, Monday through Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny, warm, and dry. Next Thursday, there's a front sitting just off to our west, and I think it will try and move through, bringing some scattered showers and thunderstorms maybe Thursday evening into early Friday. That would be the 10th into the 11th. Outside of that, there's nothing new, exciting, and different here. Overall, if this forecast verifies the way we see it right now, I think some parts of the state will escape with no moisture over the next 10 days. That's not a good thing at this point. And I do believe that we shift gears into a below normal pattern on precipitation for next week. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A Thursday rally turns into a Friday sell-off headed into a three-day weekend. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Numbers coming up plus market analysis. This review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. And first, that market analysis with Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. I spoke with him right at the end of Friday trade. Volatility run amok for some time now. And Bob, sum up not only this week, but the last couple of weeks. You've got a word for it, I guess.
It's been as difficult in my professional career. This is probably in the top three. This is equal, if not worse, than 88 and 2012. It's on the same par. You know, less than 15 days ago, we thought was going to $10 corn and $20 beans. Now, the market is struggling to keep itself from going a dollar lower and beans going back where it started. You know, so the market is getting, you know, the bull has lost some of his confidence. The bear is confident, but he got probably blown out on the upside. So both the bull and bear have been hurt, but the funds are still long. And as we look forward now into June, I think the market has probably established its high and its low for the next 30 days, and there'll be a lot of activity with the range, but the ability to make new highs and new lows I think will be difficult because the market's still waiting for the big unknown, which is what's Mother Nature going to do? What kind of yield? We're starting off with a pretty good crop intentions. Stands are good. I got guys talking in Wisconsin. All the wet spots have been planted. Talk to guys in Nebraska, says it's a garden spot. Here in Indiana, we're looking pretty good. So overall, the crop's starting out in very good shape, and that's why I think led also to this decline that we saw here. But now, and the acres are going to be up in the June report. But the export sales in corn have been good, and beans lagged a little. But I think China is not going to cancel too many old crop sales, and they're going to continue the purchase of new, so demand's stable. And acres has been anticipated, so the big variable is yield. And that's why Monday, Tuesdays will be the crazy days because of the crop conditions, and then the market will adjust during the week. And I'd say from the last week of June through the first week of August, that five-week time period is going to be as crazy as any time you've seen in the last 30, 40 years in the market, potentially, if weather becomes a variable.
Of course, this week we saw a crazy time period, lots of liquidation, and then suddenly, boom, on Thursday. What did you make of that?
For the D's 22, and it didn't quite do it for the D's 21, but D's 22 made a 50% retracement in 2 days of the 13-day break. 497 was a 50% retracement, And, you know, that was an outstanding recovery yesterday. Now, there has not been any follow-through to the breakout, so the concern about the frost is, I think, more muted. But this is a pre-holiday correction overall, I would argue. And a pattern I've seen, now it's not saying it's an absolute law, but it's a behavior I've seen, is if the market sells off hard into the Memorial Day, it can usually rally into 4th of July and then break from 4th of July into the next holiday. So I'm looking for next week for the bears to try to break it. If they can't, I think technically that I think you'll see people come back in and buy in the market if the 10 to 15 day weather forecast shows some dryness. And the number that seems to be bouncing around the trade is you're going to have to put at least 25% of the corn put out at some stress. In other words, that dryness is in North Dakota, in Wisconsin, parts of Michigan, has to move further south into Iowa and Illinois. And if that would occur, that would be the match that lights and ignites the bulls here, I'd say, past mid-June, early July. So if you don't like, you know, if you're waiting for an opportunity to sell, I think the market's going to give you a shot. But you're going to have to be prepared and know exactly what you want to get out of this market, because I think $10 and $20 corn and beans have been taken off the table because the acres have increased. But we still could see test the old highs very easy if weather becomes a variable. And I keep coming back to that if.
Sure, lots of ifs. And another if. If you want to maintain your sanity, it seems to me putting together that plan would really benefit from the help of a trusted advisor.
You got to put a plan, and first of all, you don't overtrade your account. Don't, you know, make sure you're adequately financed. And I would argue between now and 1st of August, you can't be just net short cash or net short futures. You got to have a defensive layoff risk. If you're going to sell cash, you got to have some type of call strangle. I like to put more than the short futures until I get to late July, August, because it caps my cash flow. But don't let the market drive you out. If you sell for a cause of profit, make sure you can stand the heat. And that's unfortunately, historically, what's why everybody misses it, is that the fear of going higher keeps everybody from selling it. And then when the market tops, it's so violent, as we saw here this week, and after 10 days after the high, you're saying, well, why didn't I do something? And it was because of fear. And so you got to, the only way you can overcome that fear is have an organized plan of attack of how you're going to attack this market. And we all know that eventually demand is going to be rationed and production is going to be increased. We just don't know how fast that's going to develop. Is this 11 or is this 012? And I think a lot of people think it's 011. I'm kind of in that camp, but, you know, 22, 23 sales are probably more needed than nearby, but it's very difficult to do.
Bob Utterback, Utterback Marketing Services. His number, 800-832-1488. Now, Friday settlements, 7 3/4 lower. July corn, 656 3/4. September dips 12 1/4. And December almost double digits down, 545 1/2, losing 9 1/2 cents. July soybeans, 1530 1/2, 6 1/2 lower. The August, 1482, down 1 1/4. Novi, 5 1/2 off at 1372 3/4. July wheat, 663 1/2. That was 12 3/4 lower. In the meat markets, it was mixed with August live cattle, 118.60, 82 cents off, but a strong hog market to end the week. July lean hogs, 119.35, up 265. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.